God's grace and his peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Our text coming from our gospel reading as we see the beginning work of John the Baptist and the religious leaders coming up to him, asking him certain questions. John is not afraid of the questions. He answers them, maybe not to the way that they were wanting him to answer, but he does answer them. Our text reminds us that, yes, John is the forerunner of the Christ. He makes a bold confession. And today we're going to pick up on that concept of confession. Now, very often when we think about confession, we usually think of the Roman Catholic practice of a confessional. There you go when you would confess your sins. And in the Lutheran Church, yes, you would also receive that absolution, because confession and absolution go together. But there's also another aspect of confession. Confession basically meaning telling the truth, telling what happened, what is actually going on. And so let's go into our text. It begins, John saying, and our text for today from this three-year lectionary takes certain clips of John chapter 1 and is doing so to point us to this certain direction of a confession. There came a man who was sent from God, and we need to remind ourselves that it was God who sent John. John didn't say, hey, I think I want to attract attention to myself. Hey, I think I maybe have got room for a nice movie contract. No. You see, when God chooses somebody, it is God who does it. John didn't sit there and say, you know, I think I would make a pretty good preacher. Maybe I should find some water and do something new or do something different. No, God is the one who called him. God is the one who sent him. And his name was John. And notice he says he came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. Now, we need to add some passages in here, things that remind us that, yes, John was baptizing with water. And because of that baptism, lots of people were coming to him. Needless to say, the religious leaders of the time were sort of getting their nose bent out of joint. They were seeing the crowds going to John instead of the crowds coming to them. So, of course, they wanted to send some people out to investigate, to ask John who he was. And so here was some of the questions. Are you the Christ? That was the first question on their mind. John picks up on that. And he, notice our text says, he did not fail to confess, but confessed freely, I am not the Christ. Now, in today's world, if someone is generating a lot of popularity, if they're getting their name known nationally, usually they want to start going on these talk show type programs to sort of gain more publicity. They allow themselves to be interviewed. And during those times, they typically, well, maybe not typically, they maybe embellish the story a little bit more, you know, for the reader's sake. Not so with John. There was no embellishment of the story. He got to the point. I am not the Christ. So if you're seeking the Christ, it's not here. In one essence, he was sort of pushing the religious leaders away. They followed up with the next question, are you Elijah? Again, the answer is no. Are you a prophet? Again, the answer is no. Then tell us, who are you? And John replies, I am the voice of one calling in the desert, make straight the way for the Lord. We know John's baptism was that of a baptism of repentance. He was the forerunner of the Christ. Now, one interesting note for those of you who know your Bibles pretty well, I'm going to pick on John's statement here and saying it wasn't 100% correct, but it was correct. When he said he wasn't Elijah. True, he wasn't Elijah coming back after the whirlwind of fire took him. But it's interesting, a little bit later on in the Gospels, Jesus did say to the people, Elijah had come, but you missed him, in a direct reference to John the Baptist. Now, I'm not going to disagree with the words of Jesus, and I'm not going to disagree with the words of the gospel. I think you can probably put the two together and still come up with what God is trying to remind us here. Because John here is not trying to attract attention to himself, but just to boldly say who he was and what he was doing. He is preparing the way for the Messiah. Now, I will admit, when we talk about ourselves, we sometimes fall into a couple of traps. Some of the traps that when we talk about ourselves is we sometimes will fall into the trap of delusions of grandeur. You know, we think of ourselves more highly than we should, or we start minimizing our gifts, talents, and abilities, and thinking of ourselves less than we should. Let me just put it this way. Most of us typically fall in the minimizing category. So if I asked you to name 10 strengths about yourself, would you be able to do it? Or would it be a problem? But if I asked you to name 10 weaknesses about yourself, could we immediately come up with a list of 25? Here in our text, John did not minimize. He didn't put himself down and say, "Oh no, I'm really nothing. Why should you be bothering me?" No, he knew who he was. He was the forerunner of the Christ. But also he clearly stated he himself was not the Christ. He made that good confession. He stated the way things are. He didn't minimize. He didn't go to delusions of grandeur. And then it was sort of John's turn to sort of turn the tables a little bit. When the Pharisees asked him, "Why then do you baptize if you are not the Christ, Elijah, or the prophet?" John, maybe with a little bit of a snicker, maybe not, maybe it's just my sinful nature, I would say it with a snicker. He says, "I baptize with water." Now he turns the table. "But among you," remember, they're trying to come out to find out who he is. "Among you stands one you do not know. He is the one who comes after me, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie." John the Baptist was sort of making a little bit of fun at them and saying, "You are coming out to question me, but among you stands the Messiah, and you don't even know it. And you think I'm he?" Well, they didn't take this very well. Needless to say, John was still correct. Jesus had already been on this earth, and he was going to begin his public ministry, and yet the religious leaders were not going to understand it or buy into it. So how does this apply for us in our lives? Well, first of all, we also have to remember to speak the truth, to have that bold confession of who is that Christ. We have to realize, like with John's baptism, that John also realized that he himself was a sinner. He had to prepare the way for the Lord, make a straight path for him. Likewise, as Christians, we do the same thing. We prepare ourselves during this Advent season by reminding ourselves why we need a Savior, why we needed God to take on flesh and blood and make his dwelling among us. And then John also notes that he is not even really worthy to receive what Christ offers. He says, "I am not worthy to untie his sandals." Again, John makes a good confession and states very clearly who he is and what he's doing. Jesus' words in Matthew chapter 11, verse 11 of John the Baptist adds another interesting point to this. After John says, "I'm not worthy to untie his sandals," let me just add Matthew chapter 11, 11. Jesus is speaking. He says, "Truly I say to you, among those born of women, there has arisen no one greater than John the Baptist. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." Jesus notes that, yes, no one has risen greater than John the Baptist. And for those of you who have Roman Catholic friends who believe in Mary, this is a very interesting passage that sort of puts Mary in her place a little bit. Jesus is clearly saying there is no one greater but John the Baptist, because John proclaimed that the Messiah was coming. He is the forerunner of the Messiah. That bold confession. Now, I don't want to subtract from Mary being, yes, the mother of God, so to speak. But as Jesus notes, John the Baptist is even greater. But then Jesus also notes, yet the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. So when it comes to greatness, what are we looking for? That bold confession. Jesus quickly notes that, yes, he is looking for people who understand that they are sinners, needing of God's grace, in one essence humbling themselves, but not minimizing themselves. See, there's a difference between coming before our Lord and Savior and understanding our sinfulness and putting ourselves down. John the Baptist was not put down. Jesus said, he's the greatest. But he also understood his need for a Savior. He understood the talents and the gifts and the abilities that God has given him. And understood his proper relationship to the Christ. Likewise, as we prepare ourselves for Advent, during this Advent season, for the Christmas season, we also understand who we are. We have been given many gifts and abilities by God. And John the Baptist used his to the glory of God. Likewise, God asks us to make that good confession, to name those gifts and abilities, and also likewise to share those gifts and abilities. Not to let it go to our head, to realize that we are here to serve the Christ. To prepare his way again, so to speak, for his second coming. In one essence, we, like John, have also been sent by God. Because of our faith, God says he still wants all people to know about him, all people to come to the knowledge of truth, and he has given us these gifts and abilities to use for his glory, in his kingdom. John was not afraid, but very quickly showed to the world who is God, who is the Christ. He very boldly proclaimed when he saw Jesus, it isn't in our text, he is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. John knew this. John was the one to testify to this. Likewise, God asks each and every one of us to make this similar confession, to be bold on who Jesus is. He is the Christ, the Son of God, the one who takes away our sins and the sins of the world. Yes, we are not even worthy to untie Jesus' sandals. But yet he still bestows his grace upon us. Truly the gift of God. Yes, God has given us more gifts than we can imagine. His love, his forgiveness, and certain talents. And as we receive these gifts from God, we say thank you to God. And we also say to God, God, how can I use these gifts and abilities that you have given me so that even more people will know that you are the way, the truth, and the life, that no one comes to the Father except through you. So during this Advent time, as we prepare ourselves, we make the good confession, the bold statement of faith, that yes, Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. We don't put down our gifts and abilities, but we ask the Lord to give us opportunities, knowing our gifts and abilities, to share that same love that he has given to us. The other aspect I want to add to this is our sinful nature likes to minimize those gifts and abilities. And so we got one more confession to make. You see, John knew who Jesus was. And John also knew that he was sent by God. And he also knew the power of God and his word. The bold confession is, yes, we also know who Jesus is. We also know that when we come and kneel to receive that bread and wine, it is also the very true body and blood of Christ. Again, there to strengthen our faith, to give us that boldness, to remind us of the forgiveness of sins. So that, yes, we can proclaim to the world the great confession of what Christ has done, his death, his resurrection, for the forgiveness of our sins and the gift of eternal life. Yes, we have wonderful news. And that's why John the Baptist was so bold in proclaiming him the Christ. Likewise, we know this news, but our sinful human nature likes to minimize it because we don't think we're worthy to tell the world. Let's erase that thought, because it is God who makes us worthy. It is God, the one who called John. It is God who also calls us into a relationship with Him and says, go and share that love and forgiveness. So let us be bold as we come to the Lord's altar to receive Him and the body and blood of Christ with the bread and the wine for the strengthening of our faith, so that we can make that good, bold confession and proclaim that, yes, He is the Christ, the Savior of the world, in His name. Amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.